Welcome back, folks, to the Hagmann and Hagmann Report. By the way, Stan Deo is off tonight. He'll be back with us next week. StanDeo.com. He'll be back with us next week. But in his stead, we've got kind of a very special guest lined up here. I'm going to be talking about that momentarily. Folks, go to HagmannReport.com or HagmannandHagmann.com. What I'd like you to do is subscribe to our YouTube channel, number one, and also subscribe to our various networking, social networking sites, so we can raise our visibility. Folks, last year we managed to be downloaded in 111 countries. We've had well over 65 million downloads in our broadcast, and we're expanding, getting the word out to even more people. We're very proud of where we've gone and how we've gotten there, and of course bringing you the best of what I think the best of the best, and in terms of people, guests, and ideas, information, inspiration, in all of that. So I want to thank each and every one of you for listening to us, and for your belief and your trust in us. And certainly we've got a headline rich environment as we look at things, but tonight we're going to do something a little bit different, because the headlines, I can guarantee you, the headlines that you see about the debate, about my goodness, the little 5 second drive-by hits on whether it's the Drudge Report, they're going to be there tomorrow. I want to tell you just a little bit of a story. I was sitting in my office and got a phone call from someone, and I was introduced to a gentleman by the name of Alex Wilson. Now, Alex Wilson is our guest for the next two segments here. He's going to introduce something to you that, when I heard it, I thought, wait a minute, I don't quite understand it. Then when I did understand it, when I got it, I thought, my goodness, what a tremendous story. It's a great story about a great man, a great company, a great group of men, a great company, about what they're doing to help another country, but in so doing, helping those who are a part of the, well, helping others with respect to investments and protecting money. How about growing money? A listener, what happened was this. A listener introduced this gentleman to our show. And this listener thought that this gentleman, Alex Wilson, his story, and what he does would be of interest to the broader audience of the Hagmann and Hagmann Report. And after hearing this story, he's absolutely correct. I'd like to bring on Alex Wilson, but in so doing, I would like to direct everyone's attention to the following website, Precious Timber. That's right. We haven't gone coconuts here. The relevance of that will become clear momentarily. PreciousTimber.com. This is a magnificent company, but it's a magnificent story behind this company that affects, or may affect, or could affect each and every one of you listeners and all of us. As a matter of fact, this man is, I've grown to respect this man. His mission, which is just tremendous. And even better yet, he's come on board as a supportive sponsor of our program. Alex Wilson, welcome to the Hagmann Report.
Thank you, Doug. How are you tonight?
Very well. Thank you, sir. Thanks for asking. I want to say thank you so much. You know, it's kind of interesting. Thanks for appearing tonight and taking your time out to share with our listening audience the story of your story, the story of your company, what you're doing in a tiny country in Central America, what you have done, what you're accomplishing, and the effects, the positive effects, and how others can benefit by exactly what you're doing. I don't want to make this sound like an infomercial, because it's not, but this is more of a testament to business, your story, your mission. So, welcome to the Hagman Report. PreciousTimber.com is the website. Alex, tell us about yourself.
Certainly. Listen, first of all, I think the best way to start our story is to basically, you know, the glory goes to God, because if it wasn't for the things that we have been exposed to, when I say we, I'm talking about my best friend and longtime friend, Ken Ross, my business partner, who permanently lives in Central America, moved himself and every kit and caboodle of his being there in about 15, 18 years ago. But our story is one in which we've become the great benefactors of something that we would never, ever have dreamt of possibly even doing ourselves. It was in the late 1990s. I'm sitting at this very chair at my desk in my office in Southern California, reading an investment related newsletter, a little bit more on the contrarian side of investing, a little bit more on the right as opposed to the left, and talking about internationalizing my portfolio and being smart about where to hold assets, how to hold assets. This was just prior, of course, to the 2000 crash. And I'm originally from the UK. I've been in the States since the mid-1980s. And so I, you know, come here as a youngster, $40 in my pocket, and grasped a hold of the American dream, and financially had done well. And so I was looking for some guidance, and I had subscribed to this newsletter. I had a financial planner at the time that was a nice guy. He wasn't very successful with my portfolio. I think we all probably have ran into that from time to time. But anyway, long story short, I'm reading this article about a Pacific Coast real estate opportunity in Central America, and I'm thinking, well, surely this guy's got to be talking about Costa Rica. But lo and behold, the story wasn't about Costa Rica. It was about the neighboring country, Nicaragua. And of course, coming from the UK, Doug, I had no knowledge of the relationship between the U.S. and Nicaragua. I had no clue that Nicaragua had been, you know, a country that the U.S. has strategically held important for many, 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 many years, many decades, through the Somoza family. Washington funded the Somoza, who was basically a dictator down there, and it wasn't through until about the 1970s when a small group of young guys got together, educated Nicaraguans, and said, hey, to heck with this. Everybody's kind of, you know, dumbed down here. There's no education. We have to free ourselves. Much like the Yanks kicked the Brits out many years ago. Anyway, I'm learning about it in 1999. I've kind of found the story fascinating. And, of course, I went through all the history. And for those that were here, they saw the vivid images on television every night in the 80s. And long story short, Nicaragua was freed, and you know, by 1989, the U.S. helped them design and build their constitution and became a democratic society. And since then, there's been this remarkable transformation taking place, where now, instead of the populace being illiterate, it's highly literate. 97% of the population is educated today. A young, vibrant population. Most of the older generation, unfortunately, in that revolution, were killed. But I'm reading about this property on the coastline, and it visually looked like Southern California, obviously a little bit more tropical, but it was all of those beautiful little bays and coastal crannies and what have you. And property was a song and a dance. I'm talking in the hundreds of dollars per acre on the sand. Well, being the entrepreneurial mind, I flew down there with my friend Ken, me, honey, you're an idiot. You're going to get killed. But what I found was the most peaceful part of anywhere that I'd been. I've traveled to, you know, I mean, I've touched down in 75 plus countries, but I found this very peaceful society with this jaw-droppingly gorgeous coastline and no one on it. And so, yeah, I mean, it's just fascinating. The development was being put together by an American. I had the opportunity to buy some coastal real estate for virtually pocket change. But that wasn't really the impetus of the business for us. What happened that very first night is we went down to a little town called San Juan del Sur, where there was a little fishing village, and we ate at a little restaurant. And as Ken and I came out of the restaurant, there was a group of about 40 young boys. Of course, you would call them a gang anywhere else, but it was 40 young boys gathering together at the corner of a street. Now, I traveled much, and I knew what young boys can do, and so I had the hands to the ready. But as we walked by them, one of them shouted out from the crowd, "Hey, hablo español," and I had a little bit of Spanish. And as I replied, he said, "That's okay, we speak English, come and chat to us." And for an hour, we sat talking to those lads. And the thing that hit Ken and I the most, Doug, was here they are, 40 boys, anywhere from 16 to 20, and none of them had a job.
Wow.
And I couldn't sleep that night. Yeah, I couldn't sleep that night. It kept me awake. I was born and raised in the UK. Ken was born and raised in America. We were geographically blessed. Hmm. We came home and we said, "Hey, we have to do something for those boys."
Okay.
And that's what started our business in 2001. We started a company down there, and it led us towards agriculture, which is where we are today. We employ 350 young, strapping, healthy, energetic, excited, anxious, great guys, and we've had a tremendous decade and a half building a fabulous company from a financial point of view, helping American, European, international investors, exposing them to what's really happening. Because here's what's funny. Why is it, maybe you know, why is it that good news isn't told on television?
You know, you asked me that. One of our initial conversations, you asked me that very question. And I was thinking about that because the news we cover here is all bad. And that got me thinking. Very, very, very infrequently do we talk about the good news, about the changes. And your business, you're in a unique business. What you have done is changed not just your life, the lives of your business partners, but also the lives of people within a country that was once ravaged by war, civil war, war from external forces, and made a huge difference. And because of the nature of your business, which you grow precious, valuable tropical hardwoods and coconuts, for example, in Central America, in Nicaragua, it's one of the most beautiful, fertile areas in the world. You're changing the lives of many people, and it's an amazing. This is an amazing success story, and it could have gone not this way. It could have gone differently.
Of course, and we knew that we were somewhat pioneers, and sometimes pioneers get shot in the back by all kinds of things, a bow and arrow and what have you, if you want to go back even further in time. But also there's opportunity when countries are changing, when countries are fed up with the way they were run, when citizens revolt like they did in Nicaragua, when citizens demand a chance, when people stand up and can vote and put a check mark, we're talking about voting all the time here the last year and a half in America, but when people that haven't had the chance to vote and they can actually put a check mark by their name and say who it is that they want to have lead them and give them the opportunity to be able to attain some of the simplest things. I mean, some of my staff, it warms your heart to know that here's guys that have had nothing but, you know, odd jobs. When I first went to Nicaragua, the average wage across the country was about $600 a year. Here we are now, 15, 16 years later, the economy's booming. They've had GDP growth down there since the 2008 crash of almost 5% every single year since 2008 on, and it was strong before that. It's the fastest growing, one of the fastest growing countries on the planet. It's a developing nation. 1.3 million tourists, 60 to 70 cruise ships a year. U.S. expats moving because of the cost of living, the safety factors. Here's a great statement and a great factual data point. Gallup poll recently did a study on Central and South American countries for their safety factors. Who would have thought that at the top of the list, the safest country in all of Latin America is Nicaragua?
You surprised me when you said that in passing during one of our conversations, and I had to look that up and verify that. You're exactly right. And folks listening to this program, and we get all sorts of emails and questions, well, where, if I would like to relocate outside of the United States or wherever they are in the West, where to relocate based on stats? Well, there's one answer for you right there. Nicaragua has got amazing statistics, positive statistics, safety being one, security being one. Considering the recent history, wow.
Yeah, it's remarkable, and it's almost like the diamond in the rough, but the secret is somewhat out. Obviously not to the extent of countries that spend hundreds of millions of dollars a year on U.S. television with their ads saying come here to vacate or come there to vacate. Nicaragua's never spent a dime on any of the advertising. It's all word of mouth. But it is a story that I think is about to explode. It's about to run rampant because as I wrote to our clients just yesterday that, and I came back from Nicaragua. I'm there every month for 6, 8, 10 days. My partner moved, as I said, permanently, lives there overseas. A lot of the staff and a lot of the work that we do with generating new reforestation plantations, helping enhance wildlife corridors, building new valuable, precious hardwood plantations so that the fresh air that we all need every day is in constant supply. Trees are the most unbelievable entity on the planet. They suck in all of that carbon dioxide. And of course, we create lumber. And so it's all done under a managed a reforestation platform. And from the financial point of view, which is what I thank the Lord every day for, because my portfolio was kind of modeled after what the U.S. and the U.K. financial institutions tell us to do, and that's a 60-40 investment plan, 60% in the stock market, 40% in, you know, maybe bonds and other things, gold, silver, mutual funds, things like that. And I don't know about you, but I can give you the numbers. I mean, the average 65-year-old doesn't have $200,000 to their name to retire on because of the ups and downs and the gut-wrenching volatility of those places. It seems to be a certain group that's always does well, but the average person's portfolio, I mean, goodness gracious, in the last 15 years, 2008
Yes. Yes.
And trying to recover from that. It's nice to say, well, at least I've got, I'm back where I was 8 years ago. But that's no way of growing money. And the fascinating thing for us, for Ken and I, because as I say, we got led down this path. We went to look for real estate on the ocean, and out of the blue, we meet someone that had two sons that wanted to go fishing. All they wanted to do was buy a couple of fishing boats. They had this land that they didn't know what to do with. They didn't have any money to maintain the land. It was a large parcel, many thousands of acres. They had no clue that standing on the acreage was very valuable tropical hardwoods. They just wanted to cash out of the ground, because you can't fish from, a forest.
Yeah.
You need a boat and you need some poles. And so we were able to purchase the property because it was affordable, get those kids fishing. But unbeknownst to them and unbeknownst to us, we purchased an insane amount of tropical lumber. They'd sold us an insane amount of tropical lumber. And if it wasn't for one of my employees, we wouldn't be sitting here having the conversation tonight. That one of my employees said, hey, what are you going to do with all the trees? I go, nothing. That's where the monkeys live. You don't cut trees down. You leave them up. And he was the one that said, yeah, but Nicaragua's growing as a nation, and we're trying to attract direct foreign investment, and we have unbelievable programs in place for reforestation companies, millions and millions of available acreage that used to be forests back 100 years ago that were torn down. We'd love to have them replanted so that we could have a sustainable economic industry, creating jobs, creating lumber, creating taxes, creating incentives for schools to be built and things like that, which we've done. You would do the same. Anyone listening tonight would do the same. If you were given that opportunity and you saw, like we did in 2001, Nicaragua had never had a public lending library. So if you're a kid, how do you get a book?
There you go. Yeah.
Well, when you see that problem, you solve it. It's very easy to do. Bring suitcases worth of books.
Right.
Time you go, and we helped a lady from Colorado get that started, and those are just some of the things. As I say, a couple of years ago, 3 years ago, we learned. My business partner steps in and said, Dad, I want to leave school. I want to change school. And Ken asked why. He said, well, I'm tired. I'm tired of the school. He said, how can you be tired of school? Isn't it interesting learning? He said, it is interesting learning, but you try learning sitting on the floor all day.
Hmm. Okay.
And Ken said, what do you mean? He said, there's no chairs in these school rooms. Well, we've made hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of chairs. And so it's a blessing to do. It's an unbelievable, feeling to have. And as I mentioned, I back into this world of timber. I come back to my office. I sit and I poke around online. And lo and behold, I come across the NCREIF Timberland Index. That's the index that tracks timber returns in North America. I don't know about you, but I had no clue that timber was an asset class.
And this, folks, this is really, no, I didn't either. An asset class, timber, standing timber?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not a clue. So as I search and I look, and anyone can do that, NCREIF, NCREIF, NCREIF Timberland Index. The U.S. started it in the early 80s, right after the ERISA laws changed. And from the early 80s until now, not very many people know this. I call it a billionaire's secret. I've written a white paper report on the whole thing.
Oh, yes.
But the billionaire secret, Doug, is how about 14% ROI for the last 30-something years with never a crash.
You know what, Alex, hold that thought right there because we're coming up against the break. But folks, we're talking with Alex Wilson of Precious Timber. And you've heard, for example, previous programs, you've heard Ross Powell, Survival 401k, saying, you know what, you can actually self-direct your 401k. And I'm giving this as an example putting gold and silver into your IRA. We're talking with Alex Wilson of Precious Timber. Precious timber, as he just mentioned, is an asset class which you can self-direct, even put in your IRA. But the reason I'm mentioning this, and then the reason I asked Alex to come on to the show today, is to introduce you to Precious Timber. This is a magnificent business, but he's the business itself has done so much, made the difference, such a big difference in the lives of local people in Nicaragua, protecting and enhancing the environment, and giving you insight into numerous possibilities that you, the listener, well, you can have. Numerous possibilities. Folks, stay right where you're at. More with Alex Wilson on the other side. Hagman and Hagman Report, HagmanReport.com, HagmanandHagman.com, the former for news, information, analysis, articles of importance, the latter Hagman and Hagman for all of our listening venues and, of course, social networking as well. Right now we're talking with Mr. Alex Wilson of PreciousTimber.com, PreciousTimber.com. You know, a listener introduced Alex Wilson to our show, and he thought that Mr. Wilson's story and what he does to grow and protect money. Did you hear what I just said? To grow and protect money would be of interest to our audience. And after hearing his story, I thought, man, especially in these times, you betcha. You better believe it. It's of interest. Because what Mr. Wilson is talking about, what he has done, he's making has made and continues to make a meaningful difference in the lives of a nation, a country, the local people of Nicaragua, and he's protecting the environment as he is doing it, and he is giving back. That's the thing, he's giving back. He's growing timber. Alex Wilson is growing timber, precious timber, growing one of nature's oldest commodities. He's growing lumber, if you will. But he's also giving back. He helped start a library. Manufactured donated chairs, as he referenced, for schools. They've built baseball fields in Nicaragua. You know, the outreach. See, you folks, so much you hear about the mercenary activities and all of this other bad stuff. Man, listen to what this man and this company is doing. But even better still, we can all be a part of this. And I looked at this and I thought, man, how great is this, the opportunities? Because now, Mr. Wilson, thanks for staying with us. Now, you are certainly in a unique business. Just to be clear for people just joining us here, you grow precious, valuable tropical hardwoods, and even coconuts, that's referenced in an earlier statement I made, in Central America, in Nicaragua, just north of Costa Rica, in one of the world's most fertile agricultural regions. And you help investors discover how Mother Nature and biology outperforms Wall Street. You can't get this level of benefit from anything, as you had mentioned, when it comes to profit making, at least in my view. And again, you do this while making a very meaningful difference in the lives of local people. And we love success stories like this. We love to hear about not just the bad stuff, but the good stuff. And protecting and enhancing the environment, which everyone's concerned about, and you do all of this. And you kind of gave an overview of how you began with this. And I just want to say thank you, because after speaking with you a couple of times, as I have, and then understanding what you do by going to PreciousTimber.com and understanding, reading about your company and reading about what you do, man, I'll tell you, I'm really impressed. And the difference you've made, your company have made, it's phenomenal. It just tells me that we can all make a difference as well. I mean, just as you have. But I don't want to be, I don't want to take up too much of your time. If I could, what, and if you want to revisit any of what I just said, feel free to, but wood, of course, is one of nature's oldest commodities. What type of lumber do you grow there in Nicaragua?
Well, we're only in the very, very valuable tropical species. We're not growing pine, Douglas. You know, it doesn't end up as 2x4s or plywood mm-hmm. or pulp and paper. This is the stuff that you see on the most beautiful floors and doors and windows and paneling and desks and furniture and inside of theaters and movie, you know, palaces and what have you. I mean, this is the valuable stuff. I mean, and you said that you're right. It's the most, you know, unbelievable location. And because of that, and let me just touch on that. First of all, Nicaragua is an unbelievable location geographically. She sits on the sixth largest freshwater aquifer on the planet. And of course, we all know that, 7 billion? I think there was 2 billion people on the planet when I was born in 1958. There's 7 billion here now. There's going to be 9 billion. There's going to be 11 billion. We all need to be fed. There's just less and less arable land available. Nicaragua has got the most unbelievable volcanic, fertile, black soil with this incredible climate of 360 days of sunshine with 70 to 300 inches of rain, depending upon which part of the country. It's the largest country in Central America. The temperature fluctuates from the high 80s to the mid 90s. You don't go there if you want to stay cool. And so stuff grows. And take our mahogany. We grow up several different species. We grow local mahoganies, African mahoganies. We grow teak. We grow cocobolo. We grow all kinds of the most valuable stuff that you see in the U.S.'s lumber yard selling for $20, $30, $40, $50 per board foot. I mean, this is the valuable stuff. And instead of having to wait, as you would do in North America, for 30 or 40 or 50 years for these trees to grow. And this is the key, Doug, to the business side and to the portfolio side of what we do, and which you graciously said that we're doing. Actually, it's my staff. I have no one to thank other than my staff. They're the ones that brought this idea to me. They're the ones that guided my partner and I into this business and have taught us everything we know. So we owe everything to the people that we've become great friends of, to the government officials that have helped us along. It's a great place to do business, an easy place to do business. It's a law-abiding country. It's a safe country. It's a rule-of-law country. It's a country that wants international foreign investment. In fact, if anyone wants to email me at awilson@preciousTimber.com, awilson@preciousTimber.com, I can send you all of the data, any business people listening. But a place to store wealth, a place to grow wealth safely, has been timber, not just now, but ever since our good Lord created Yes. The average investor has not, probably never heard of it. The two largest owners of timber in the U.S. don't happen to be timber men.
Oh.
Ted Turner and John Malone both made their billions in the media business. But they have a huge portfolio position in timber. So you ask yourself, why? Well, first of all, if it produces 14% a year, that's a great place to keep money.
Yeah, I would say.
But
yeah.
But if you have billions, what's the one thing that you might do differently to those that are trying to make a nest egg? You probably don't want to put it into too much risk.
Right.
Well, the average investor's all in with risk, 60 and 70% of their portfolio in the stock market. If you're a billionaire, you're focusing on loss avoidance asset strategies.
Most thousandaires do that. I mean, risk avoidance is prime these days. I agree with that. Yes, yes. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, there's a fellow by the name of Jeremy Grantham who manages the GMO fund, $120 billion fund, and Jeremy's been a long-term advocate of timber. He actually says in a newsletter to the members of that, to the investors in that group, that timber is the only low-risk, high-return asset, and it's the only long-term high-producing asset class. And so why is it? I mean, I always ask myself when I learned this, why is it that none of my financial planners or CPAs or accountants ever mentioned timber? Partly because they didn't know about it. I mean, that's the reason. I mean, to be honest, they just didn't know. They're told to sell what it is that the institution that they work for wants them to sell.
Right.
But for those of us that find this asset space, and it's not just timber, you mentioned the coconuts. Coconuts has been a worldwide commodity for how many hundreds of years, but more recently, over the past 20 years, it's become a phenomenal commodity because it's no longer just in the things that you and I might remember as a kid. Grandmom used to make coconut macaroons, or you put some suntan lotion on you and you had the smell of coconut.
Mm-hmm.
Today, the little lowly coconut from all of the islands is in thousands of different products across hundreds of uncorrelated industries, and I'll give you just a few to name a few: cosmetics, to biofuels, to food products, to gardening products, to pet food. I could go on and on and on. And so here we have another commodity that we came upon. We came upon it by my daughter. My daughter was 14, 4 or 5 years ago, saying, "Dad, I want to try coconut oil on my skin. I've got this acne starting, and my friend says coconut oil is going to work. Of course, Dad's a little old-fashioned. Dad says that's not going to work. That's, you know, hocus pocus.
Sure.
But it worked. And before you know it, my wife's buying coconut milk and coconut water and coconut cream and coconut this and coconut the other. I'm a businessman. I always say to myself, if I see things in my house more than twice a day being used, somebody's making money somewhere. And so I searched all of Central America to find a coconut expert. I found the only certified coconut seed pollinator in all of Central America. He happened to be Nicaraguan on the other side of the country. We've planted 2,000 acres, almost 200,000 coconut trees the last couple of years. We're well into the coconut business now. And what I like most, listen, I love timber. I love timber because it's safe. It doesn't jive up and jive down and zig and zag like the market does. When the stock market's going up or down, a tree doesn't care. A tree grows at 6 to 8% every year on the stump. It just does that in good days, bad days, political days, you know, worldwide crazy war days. It just keeps growing.
Mm-hmm.
You plant a sapling, Mother Nature's biology through osmosis grows that tree into that sapling into a log. If you buy an ounce of gold, what do you have at the end of the day? You have an ounce of gold. If it doesn't go up in value, I remember Warren Buffett on one of the interviews I watched him say, one of the hardest ways to make a profit is to buy something at one price and then hope that you can sell it for a higher price so you can make a profit.
Yeah.
It's a lousy way to, it's a lousy way to invest. You don't always make a profit because sometimes things go down.
That's true, as we've seen.
Yeah, but guess what coconut trees do? They make coconuts.
So I've learned.
Yeah, that's all they know. And so from a from an income perspective, and that's the difference between the two asset spaces that we work with and our clients. And when I say our clients, well, we work with accredited investors, Doug. Investors that have, you know, a portfolio, and they're trying to diversify, and they're trying to keep their money safe. They're trying to make sure that their money's growing consistently. It's not a space for everyone, but timber is a space that produces high ROIs. You can't get to the money quickly, so you have to be a long-term investor. You can't say, hey, I want to plant a tree today, but I want to sell it next month. So you have to understand that long-term profits are far more valuable than short-term profits. I think most people understand that. But then on the other side of the portfolio, for those of us that need income, I call the coconut tree the agricultural annuity.
Explain that. I mean, because of that, right? I mean, the agriculture, because it keeps, well, I'll let you explain that. Go ahead.
Yeah. By year four, the tree starts to produce coconuts. So a new baby sapling is planted. It's about 2 feet tall. By year four, it starts to produce coconuts. And then she produces every single year for the next 50 to 60 years.
More productive than most people I know.
And at the rate coconuts are being, you know, I mean, there's something that I'm waiting for the results to come in on, because I think if this also occurs, and I'm always a little skeptical when it comes to the health food arena, but there's a lot of medical scientific data and studies currently underway with coconuts and with the oil of coconuts, because the medium chain triglyceride in the oil has already had, in several instances, just go online, go to TED Talks, go to a lot of other places and type in dementia, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, and then follow those words with the word coconut, and you'll be flabbergasted at how many doctors and others are using coconut oil to treat. Now, there's no scientific data yet, but let me tell you, if my doctor was giving it to me and administering it to me and there was a benefit, I wouldn't care about the scientific data, as long as it worked.
Yeah.
But if the medical arena add their demands onto the coconut, much like the water industry recently, or the cosmetic industry a while back, or biofuel. I mean, Virgin Airlines has flown jumbo jets from London to Amsterdam on coconut biofuel. What else is going to happen to the value of a coconut? They've already gone from an average of 10 to 15 cents farm gate prices per coconut to twice that, 30 cents a coconut. And when a tree's pumping off 100 or 150 coconuts a year for 60 years, am I going to go buy an annuity that I only have until I pass away, or am I going to have this annuity that I give to my kids after I pass away?
There you go. There you go. And I just want to remind people, too, because before you came on, we were talking about the economic state of the union, state of the planet, state of the world, economic. And it's not good. I mean, we hear bad news all of the time. And, of course, you know, the average show out there, whether it's a show like this or perhaps another show, well, diversify gold, silver, you know, assets, precious metals, assets. You know, I understand that, okay, because diversification is one thing. But here, folks, we have Alex Wilson of Precious Timber saying, wait a minute, hold the phone here. Because there's something entirely different than perhaps any other show has offered to their listeners, a way to diversify through timber. But it's different. It's even more than, it's better than that, because Precious Timber, Alex Wilson, has made a meaningful difference in the lives of the local people in Nicaragua. Helped start schools. I mean, you talk about missionary work. To me, this is, call it what you will, to me, this is true missionary work, rather than taking, you know, the food. And I'm not disparaging people who do this, you know, building a hut or two or three or whatever, you know, once a year. You're giving back to the environment. You're giving back to the planet. You're giving back to the community all the time. Plus, you're offering the people who would so choose to diversify their own portfolio a chance to do it via timber and, believe it or not, coconuts. It's the gift that keeps on giving, so to speak. Anyway, did I capture the essence of that?
Yeah, you have. You're right. And actually, it brought me to something, and I thank you for that, because you're 100% right. There's a phrase, there's a label for this kind of activity today. It's called impact investing. Years ago, there used to be socially responsible investing, still there. Then, of course, before that, there was venture philanthropy. But today, basically, impact investing, it's not socially responsible investing, which basically is a form of capital deployment where a financial return may be expected in return for the, you know, the social or environmental values that you're doing. And it's certainly not venture philanthropy, where it's a pursuit of charitable purposes solely, which both are admirable. But impact investing is completely different. Impact investing offers a blended value. And that blended value, Doug, is the fact that whilst you're making very attractive returns on investment, you are simultaneously making meaningful, impactful approaches and benefits to both social and environmental necessities. So, for example, what we do, and our clients are involved with this, our clients are private owners. They are people that understand, they've spent time with me on the phone, they've spent time reading our white papers, they've spent time online doing their research, and I really recommend people do that. First of all, learn about the country. Get in there and dig deep. I mean, you may remember the 70s and 80s. That's a long time ago. How about learning what's happening today? What's today's Nicaragua like? And find out about that. Do those studies. I can help people find the locations to do their own due diligence and get that knowledge. And then once that's understood, then learn about this space. Because this space is really remarkable for wealth creation, for wealth preservation, and of course coconuts for nice, long-term, double-digit income. And so you're talking about impact investing, and to you and I, and to our clients, a tree is a wonderful place to store, protect, and grow our financial portfolio. But to Jose,
wow,
to Hugo, to Salvador, these are the people that care for our trees, make sure the trees grow properly, straight, have great volume, good density. Our goal is the financial return. Their reward is a long-term job and a lifeline to a better quality and standard of living. We can do that together.
Wow, indeed. You know, the old saying, money doesn't grow on trees, but certainly in this case,
in the timber business.
There you go. You know, and folks, what really struck me about this was, I guess impact investing is sums it up nicely. The investments are made, you know, by companies, organizations, with the intent to generate social and environmental impact alongside of a financial return. There's this symbiotic relationship, and today, you know, we don't see that. But here's a guy, Alex Wilson, PreciousTimber.com, who has really made a difference in the lives of many people in a country that has been, you know, war torn back in the 70s, through the late 70s, now has made this dramatic change. You've got all of these opportunities, and we get emails all the time, people saying, I'm looking for a place, I'm looking for a place, perhaps even retirement, and I know that's not the issue here, but the land down there, and I know you did a radio show, I can't remember the name of it here, not too long ago, Ray
Lucia.
There you go. Thank you. I happen to see that. And there was some discussion about that. But all of this combined, the impact that you made, the schools that you helped build, the furniture that you helped, or the libraries that you helped build and supply, this is a win-win-win-win situation. And, you know, people have asked us, well, give us options. Give us options. Folks, here's an option. You've got to search out Precious Timber. You've got to check this out because, well, again, this is an option, and you're not talking about a short-term fix or something that, you know, you're just going to sit and watch and kind of like, you know, waiting for paint to dry, you know, wondering if it's going to go up in price, gold or silver. This is an option that has a lot of benefit to it, a lot of benefit.
And I'm an advocate for gold and silver. I think there's a place in that for your portfolio, but I think it's more of an insurance policy or maybe a bet. Because one of the things that I mentioned is a gold coin could never turn into a gold bar, or an ounce of gold can never turn into a gold bar. It can only be what it is. And yes, it's nice to have some. I have some too, for safety reasons. But if you really want loss avoidance and you really want to have biology grow your money for you, biology grows money. I mean, a lot of people don't understand that, but it absolutely, in fact, I now, in my late 50s, much prefer Mother Nature over Wall Street. I really do.
Amen.
But obviously, you know, with respect to gold, it's a good asset to have. And if you have gold in your portfolio, then really you should also take a serious consideration and look at both timber, coconuts, and maybe other agricultural products. In fact, let's do this. I'd like to invite any one of your listeners to come down to visit us. In fact, in November, just almost a month away, on the 12th and 13th of November, I'm holding a discovery tour. And it's exactly that. It's a discovery tour. It's not a sales tour. It's a discover Nicaragua tour, a discover timber tour, a discover coconut tour. Meet the people, shake their hands, look in their eyes, look at how we protect the environment and build new wildlife corridors. Because, yeah, it's nice making a little money, but it's even nicer when you're making some money and making an impact. And I invite anyone to call. The number's toll free. It's 855-888-6288. I'll say that again. 855-888-6288. Ask for myself, Alex Wilson. I'd be happy to chat with you. And go online. Watch our videos. Great people. Great country. Great asset space, and not a bad radio show.
Indeed. Well, God bless you, my friend. We've actually reached the end of the program. I have learned so much by looking through your website, researching your company. You know, I just want to say thank you for everything you've done. And I know maybe you didn't set out to do much of what you've done, but the positive impact you've made and the offerings that you're giving to all of our listeners and us as well. Thank you so much, my brother. We're going to be hearing more about Precious Timber. I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to be hearing more about them because they are moving and shaking. Oh, thank you, Mr. Wilson.
we're going to get these Hagman, this Hagman team down to Nicaragua one day. Thanks so much, Doug.
God bless you, my friend. Thank you so much, folks. Thank you so much, sir. Folks, that'll do it for us tonight. Wow. A way to end on a positive upscale note, huh? Man.
Absolutely.
Precious Timber and
very interesting.
This man has, this company has done a lot. Check them out, precioustimber.com. Tomorrow, we've got Agenda 2030 to talk about.
Yep.
All right.
Till then, stay safe. God bless. Have a great night.